flu shot at Walgreens is easier than ever. Just walk right in, and there's no cost to you with a $0 copay with most insurance. Plus, when you get a flu shot, you help provide a life-saving vaccine to a child in need through the UN Foundation. Swing by your local Walgreens anytime to get a flu shot and help make a difference. Get a shot, give a shot. It's that easy. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Through August 31st, 2018, for every immunization given, Walgreens will donate 22 cents up to $2 million. Vaccine restrictions apply. Talk to your pharmacist to learn more.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
President Trump says the U.S. and Japan are in solidarity against the North Korean menace, as he puts it. Mark Mayfield with more.
Trump is in Japan, where he held a joint press conference with Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. The two leaders were in agreement that just talking with North Korea about its nuclear program has produced poor results. While he said no one wants conflict, the president added that Japan would be protected through the purchase of American military hardware.
Former Congressman Anthony Weiner is due to report to prison today. The disgraced New York Democrat to start serving a 20-month sentence for sending sexually explicit messages to a 15-year-old girl. Weiner is expected to surrender to Federal Medical Center Devens in Massachusetts, which specializes in mental health care. Senator Rand Paul has 5 broken ribs and a bruised lung after an attack at his Kentucky home on Friday. The alleged attacker is a neighbor who has been charged with assault and is currently free on bond. A spokesman for Paul says it's unclear when he'll return to Capitol Hill. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, it's Angie Austin. All right, I didn't sleep well until I got my pillow. I love this pillow, and they have a great deal right now. 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com, and I'm telling you, this pillow will change your sleep life. MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, or call 800-951-8175 and put in the promo code USA. You'll get 50% off 2 MyPillow premium pillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows. Again, call 800-951-8175, promo code USA.
Cleanup is underway after a tornado touches down in western Ohio. The National Weather Service says an EF1 twister clobbered the city of Salina. That happened late yesterday. 8 people injured when the tornado struck the city's business district, flattening a restaurant and some stores. They say it also shredded the roof of a nearby factory. The mayor, Jeff Hazel, declaring a state of emergency to free up cleanup resources. The president's not the only Trump who's traveling. His daughter is pushing his tax plan in Southern California. Jason Campadonia has details.
Ivanka Trump will be alongside U.S. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin at a business roundtable in Newport Beach today to talk about the plan, which the president says will make businesses more competitive and boost the economy. The two have been in SoCal talking to Republicans and business leaders since late last week. Over the weekend, the two spoke at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library. Republicans hope to deliver a tax reform bill to President Trump by the end of the year.
And a legend in the city of L.A. says he is done watching NFL football. Longtime L.A. Dodgers broadcaster Vin Scully says he used to love watching NFL games on Sundays as the weather went from summer to fall, but the recent player protests are very disappointing to him. Scully spent a year in the Navy. He says he doesn't want to preach about the players taking a knee during the national anthem, so he's simply going to turn off the TV. You can find us online anytime at usaradio.com. I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the Bay basement to the attic. You're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com outside our studios. Showers likely mainly after 2 p.m. today. Otherwise cloudy, high near 68. Chance of showers in the evening tonight. Low will be in the upper 30s. Tuesday, slight chance of rain in the afternoon. Otherwise sunny, high in the 50s. Tuesday night, slight chance of rain, at least around here. Low in the upper 30s. Clearing up Wednesday, sunny in the 50s during the day, down in the 30s at night for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Saturday, Veterans Day, mostly sunny, high near 46, and then down almost to freezing Saturday night. Outside our studio, 65 degrees right now. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Hey, welcome to Chef Bill's Table. I'm your host, Chef Bill Kinslow, here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com, working at Jake's Restaurant locally in the area, over 26 years, serving the community. And we have another tradition coming up, food-wise, obviously on everybody's mind, at least should be by now, if you're going to plan to have a nice gathering, Thanksgiving, Turkey Day, Fall feast, whatever you want to call it, Thanksgiving, we should give thanks anyway, right? Especially the bounty that day. And I always like that holiday, my kids, because no expectations of gift exchanges, things. So just get together and have a great meal if you can. Sometimes the many family members may be involved in the preparation. It's a good day for everybody to be together. And nice that some of the retails are backing off a little bit and letting people enjoy the day. Of course, in the restaurant business, at least for us, a full-service restaurant, it's a good day for people to come out for dinner. It's the only day of the year we do a limited menu, meaning we don't have a regular a la carte menu available, because most people want the tradition. We do have a steak and salmon and shrimp, seafood, vegetarian dish in case people want it, but really it's about tradition, and around here that's what we do. And I have some guests that really look forward to it. We try not to push things. We allow plenty of time for reservations, which, you know, sometimes restaurants are forced to turn tables, as the term goes, getting multiple seatings, and places do buffets. Buffets are okay. Probably Thanksgiving, but not a bad idea. Even serving in your home if you're having extra people. Or if you just want to be a little more casual about it. A buffet, if you have the holding equipment for the dishes, then it's pretty nice. People can kind of enjoy it at their own pace. I know for Christmas dinner, that's what I do. I set up a buffet because that way I can relax. Once the food is done and the guests are there, it's pretty much fend for yourself, right? It's your favorite. So next week, Peter from Black River Spice and Tea will be here. We'll be talking about the poultry herbs, poultry seasoning, and the like sources, why they, you know, look for a little history and some ideas. This will be coming up pretty close then. It's a couple of strategy ideas, or just even ways to use these herbs that are not necessarily just Thanksgiving. But probably start planning your menu now. If you're doing tradition turkey, then it's really a no-brainer, except are you going to use a frozen defrosted one from the supermarket, or you're going to order one. It's one of the opportunities, if you're near local producers, to get something right from your neighborhood. And if you're not doing turkey, many other, I'm sure in New England, the first Thanksgiving, probably, if you're near the coast, probably involved lobster. We used to do venison, lobster, a lot of traditional, maybe from other areas. And then how do you cook the turkey, roast it, fry it, the whole thing. But we'll get into that later on. This week, actually today is National Nacho Day. And it's kind of fitting. We've been talking at the restaurant about reintroducing nachos. We've had many variations over the years. We did it with sliced potatoes, fried, kind of, I think people call that Irish nachos maybe because of the potato. And then we've done a variation of that. We got these nice gaufret, waffle cut potatoes. And they were nice and crispy. A lot of surface area when you fry those. That's why you get a nice crispy texture. We've done pierogies. Pierogies are kind of cool if you like it more like as a meal. It's not really a, I guess you could pick up the pierogi and eat it like that, but really that's like a knife and fork nacho. And actually I see some like that, the layered nachos that you see with the tortilla chips or corn chips with all the stuff that's piled on there. That's almost the only way you can eat them. I personally like the individually made one. It's just like the original. And simple is good. Nice, good shredded cheese. And a piece of pickled jalapeno. Not fresh. You want pickled. You want that little sharpness there. We used to do Tex-Mex parties years ago. Sometimes some of our staff would get together. And that's one of those participative parties where everybody gets involved, just like if you're making, last week in the Times was like a dim sum party or a dumpling party where people get cooking becomes part of the gathering and the entertainment. So I always like to do a freshly fried corn tortilla triangle. You can season them as you like after they're fried, but they're nice and firm. The bag tortilla chips, sometimes they're sliced a little bit too thin. But if you don't have time to do that, of course, find one, less salt the better, and the thicker the better. You want these to hold up. We would just do a little refried beans, some cheese, and the jalapeno, and bake them individually, like a nice little hors d'oeuvre. But we've done them at the restaurant where we stack them up, make a nice queso, not just a bechamel with cheese in it, but actually our queso, we make it like a fondue, melt the cheese with a little wine and chilies, and that gets layered and drizzled over the nachos with some kind of meat or vegetable topping. We used crumbled chorizo, Mexican-style chorizo, but I see pulled pork. We're probably going to reintroduce them at the restaurant. Starting to get, it's still one of those things people like. And also, later on this week, pizza with everything, except the anchovies. And I don't know why. I think one of the nicest simple pizzas or flatbreads would be with sage and anchovies, maybe a little onion, good olive oil, black pepper. But most people aren't into those. So to me, the anchovies are nice seasoning. But the pizza with everything now, our pizzas in this country have grown to be, layered concoctions with almost too much on it. I don't mind a mixture of ingredients, but I was talking with my son the other day, just like with sandwiches, you want every slice to have the ingredients. So we have one, I think one of my favorites to do is put ingredients on the pizza after it's baked, like a salad pizza. You need to make then a tomato pie, put the cheese down first and then the sauce so the lettuce and other ingredients don't wilt, and bake that, and then have your chopped chilled mixture that you can put on top. Or if you're doing a prosciutto and fontina, you may put a little arugula, a little lightly dressed arugula on top of that. All kinds of ideas. But anyway, nachos, pizza, and nachos might be If you're doing any kind of appetizer for Thanksgiving, might be a good way to start, but not the big gloppy things with all the guacamole and all the sour cream and things like that. Just do a simple, think of it as a canapé, and make them individually, and you can you could do crab meat. I mean, there's many variations on those also. But do your chips, fry them yourself, make them individually, warm them up, and you'll have a nice hors d'oeuvre. We're going to break, today we're going to go into, I think, fall fruits, apples, maybe pears. Think of these things that apples and pears normally available just in the fall. Grapes get harvested in the fall. Of course, southern hemisphere, the seasons are opposite. But many of these, well, especially grapes, need to be dormant for winter. You can't produce year-round. So they do become kind of a seasonal thing. Even though they're available, we are able to keep them chilled. Apples are harvested and then kept from ripening too much. And they're pretty much, you can get standard varieties year-round. But we'll do a couple of neat things with apples and also with pears, and sometimes they're interchangeable on these methods. And maybe have a couple of ideas for dinner. Apples are good any way you have them, so could be a part of your regular diet. We'll be back in a couple of minutes at the table.
The weekend at the college didn't turn out like you planned. The things that pass for knowledge I can't understand. Are you reeling in the years?
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Back at the table here, back at Chef Bill's table. I'm going to try to get into some apple. Oh, I saw it was in the Times a cider producer making cider syrup. And I kind of looked it up. Apparently, there was a time in our history in this country, the North, the abolitionists, because of the the tie-in with sugar, the cane sugar in the slave trade, they would not use sugar as a sweetener. They would use maple syrup if you're up north, obviously, stronger flavor, but apple cider syrup became a sweetener of choice for people. And I said, oh, interesting, because I know it's, you know, apples, I mean, we eat them, we bake with them. Regular cider, of course, we use some when we make our sauerkraut. We have mulled cider, warm spiked cider at the restaurant all through the fall here. Cocktails are made with them. Hard cider is always good. In recent years, there's a big uptick in popularity and producers. And they say some of the cider producers, even, of course, Applejack, started in New Jersey, kind of the America's answer to Calvados, which is you have fermented hard cider, the French cider, and then they would distill it to get a nice, clear apple brandy, if you will. And then, of course, aging it will give it some color, some caramel, some vanilla, all those other overtones you get from the oak. So we have Applejack. So you've got all kind of levels. And apple wine, remember when I was first a teenager, was it Boone's Farm? I guess apple wine. Cider and wine, of course, main difference, alcohol content. And when you're making apple wine versus cider, cider can be fermented naturally. We used to actually take good fresh cider and ferment it ourselves. Just in little spritz, you know, little bubbles in there. Not too much alcohol. It probably was only like, you know, 3 or 4%. Nothing too strong. But again, when water wasn't that safe to drink generations ago, even children would have fermented cider juice. The alcohol would kill bacteria. You know, beer, all these things were around for a reason. Probably kept a lot of people alive. So with the syrup, I said, well, okay, that's... we've done reductions and things before, so I decided to do a test. Now, maple syrup, you have the free-run sap, and it's boiled, but it takes 40 gallons of sap to make a gallon of syrup. Think about that. That's a lot of maple trees. Quebec province in Canada seems to be actually are the big producer of it now. But when I was up north, up in Lake Placid, we had a couple of maple trees in the yard, and we'd tap them and in the morning just even drink the free-run sap. Because in the fall, all the energy, the things are going from the leaves down into the roots. The sap is running in the trees, and so then you put a little hole in there, get a little bucket, collect it. Now it's done with tubes. You don't have to go around and dump each bucket in a big wagon. And, of course, then syrup was boiled over any of the old trees that would fall down or be chopped up for firewood. And this cauldron would be just going away with the wood fire, and I think probably the syrup then. We have an organic one we use at the restaurant now, and it didn't seem, sometimes, I remember we used to get syrup up north, and sometimes it had a little bit more astringency to it. It wasn't just sweet. It had some other, I don't know, when we were camping, we used to call those vitamins and minerals, some of the, maybe the aromas from the fire would get in there. I don't know. But anyway, so maple syrup, sweetener of choice, cider syrup. So it's 40 to 1, so... You know, it's hard to find free-run maple sap. So I took a quart of regular apple cider, not apple juice, but good unfiltered cider. And I started with a quart, and I started boiling it down, just like you would do for balsamic vinegar syrup, kind of simulate the aging process there of an old balsamic, the 30-year or 20-year, just boil it down. It makes a nice, perfect sweet and sour sauce. And the cider now, I boiled it, and one time I got it down to about 2 ounces, and that was a little thick when it cooled off. It was almost like a really nice, nice apple jelly, because you've got that, you know, a little bit of caramelization going on. It was really when the bubbles got very, very big, almost to that, well, it was what you'd call a softball stage if you're making candy or confections. So I did a batch. I just brought it to 4 ounces, and that seemed nice. It still had a good clarity to it. The thing with the apple cider syrup is you've got a little bit of acid in there too, depending on the apples that the cider was made from. So it's not just sweet. You have that little tartness in there also, which I thought was kind of neat. Now, as a topping, I took I had, you know, a piece of cheesecake, let's say, cheese and apples, or cheese and even sweeter. It reminded me of a sweet wine. Enough acid, so it really doesn't come off as cloyingly dessert sweet. So the syrup would be good served with a cheese platter. I drizzled some over some cheesecake. The cheesecake's rather sweet. You get the apple flavor. So I don't know, playing around. So something you can make very easily. As I say, 32 ounces is going to give you 4 ounces. So if you take a gallon of syrup and boil it down. And the nice thing about making this is, of course, when you're making simple syrup with sugar, you have to worry about crystallization and brushing down the sides of the pot. You don't have to worry about this. Some of the precipitate will come out and stick to the side of the pot from the apple pulp. But aside from that, it still had nice amber color. You could see through it. It wasn't cloudy. So check it out. Make some apple cider syrup.
And our world would be brighter. Love comes over me.
Taking those natural sweeteners rather than using corn syrup. But I guess regionally, it would, you know, sorghum is used, corn syrup, obviously. Other fruits, you'll see in the store, sometimes they're just flavored. They might be corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup, flavored with maybe blueberry, raspberry. But if you're taking these fruits down to a syrup, it depends on the sugar content. Even when we reduce wine in making a sauce, we'll let it come down, especially your red wine. We'll reduce it down to this glaze. So there's really no sugars left in there, but it still gets concentrates the flavors, and then add that to your sauce or use it as a building block for a red wine or a white wine sauce. So now the next thing, if we're not going to make syrup, applesauce, another thing that's very common out there. We see it all over the place. Almost no reason why you shouldn't make your own. We like to do it with red-skinned apples. And the apples, the varieties we have, there's more and more becoming available out there. It used to be just Red Delicious. Of course, they look good. They're good for eating. Not good for cooking. Golden Delicious, not really related to the Red Delicious, but we call it that. Those are, French seem to like those. Those are good for baking an apple tart. They can be used for cooking. Macintosh, you have Rome, Empire. Galas I like. They're good fresh. Not as great for cooking, but Honeycrisp apple seems to be a good apple also that cooks well and eats well fresh. So applesauce. So what I would do, we would leave the skins on the apple, the red skin. If you have a green skin apple, you do want to peel it. That would give you a little bit too much of the bitterness from the skin. But the red skin gives it a nice rosy color. And you just core them. You don't want any seeds in there. And you start with a little bit of water. Not too much, because apples have quite a bit of water in them. I think what happens with people is they cover the apples with water, and of course it takes too long to cook it down. So to make about 3.5 cups of applesauce, you really need 2 pounds of apples and only about 1/2 cup of water. And even better, use some fresh cider. Don't use water. Use 1/2 cup of cider. This will intensify the apple flavor. And you let that cook down. It takes 20 minutes, could take a little bit longer. You want it to be a nice, soft puree. And then you will strain it. You push it through a strainer. Of course, the skins get left behind. And then you can season it, which means you can add a little bit of sugar if you like. If you want a little spice in there, some of the spices we've talked about, like cinnamon or nutmeg, allspice, mace. And you'll have a nice homemade applesauce. Now, if you're serving this warm, you could stir in a tablespoon of unsalted butter at the end also to kind of enrich it. This would really be a nice sauce going with roast chicken, going with roast pork. Anything along that line would benefit from this served. It's not just something to scoop out of a jar. And I know it often garnishes things, but your own homemade one, got, again, control about how much sugar you're putting in there. You can flavor it the way you want. And it really, if you think about it, without a lot of effort, doesn't take that much time. And if you've seen apple butter anywhere, you could take the same mixture and the puree and cook it down even more until it gets fairly thick, almost to where if you draw the wooden spoon across the bottom of the pan there, the pulp would not run back to where you just scraped, if that makes any sense. It's just nice and thick. And then, and I would start with cider if I was doing it this way. I would not start with water. But you're getting that nice apple essence, and then, again, strain it. And you would add the sugar toward the end of cooking. It doesn't have to be when you're totally finished, because the sugar you want to cook and add a little caramelization to that, too. But the apple, as I say, the cider syrup, you have that nice caramel overtone from boiling the syrup down. Then, of course, another dish would be an apple cranberry onion marmalade. And I've done chutneys with cranberry and apple in them. Chutneys are great, great way to preserve things. Nice garnish or sauce, not overly sweet, because in chutneys you're using some vinegar. But this marmalade quickly would be 2 tablespoons of oil, and you have 1 pound of onion chopped up, and 1 pound of tart apples. You want to peel them, core them, and chop them. Tart apples could be Granny Smith, if you like. They're a little firm, but you want a little texture to this. 2 cups of cranberries, 2 cups of cider. And again, we're going to cook this down. Of course, the cranberries are going to add a little pectin, a little thickener to it. And then at the end, add your sugar. You might need 1/4 cup of brown sugar. Taste it. Let the brown sugar dissolve in there, and then hit it with a little bit of half teaspoon of cinnamon and a teaspoon of allspice. And then this nice preserve, this apple onion marmalade, would be a nice garnish for a cheese platter or alongside some roasted meats. We've got a break for news, and we'll be back at the table and look at another couple of apple ideas and maybe some pears. Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
There is information surfacing that there may have been a reason why this particular location was targeted.
That's Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who says police may have a motive soon as to why Texas shooter Devin Patrick Kelly opened fire at the church in the tiny community of Sutherland Springs yesterday, killing 26 people.
I don't think this was a random act of shooting, a randomly chosen location, but obviously someone who was very deranged.
The gunman's in-laws are members of the congregation. The sheriff saying they weren't there at the time of the shooting, but they did arrive shortly after it ended. The gunman ended up taking his own life a short time later. President Trump says it's too soon to talk about guns after yesterday's mass shootings.
Fortunately, somebody else had a gun that was shooting in the opposite direction. Otherwise, it would have been as bad as it was. It would have been much worse.
This is USA Radio News.
Getting your flu shot at Walgreens is easier than ever. Just walk right in, and there's no cost to you with a $0 copay with most insurance. Plus, when you get a flu shot, you help provide a life-saving vaccine to a child in need through the UN Foundation. Swing by your local Walgreens anytime to get a flu shot and help make a difference. Get a shot, give a shot. It's that easy. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Through August 31st, 2018, for every immunization given, Walgreens will donate 22 cents up to $2 million. Vaccine restrictions apply. Talk to your pharmacist to learn more.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
back and reach the stars.
All right, we're back at the table here at Chef Bill's table. Apples, apple pie. Probably one of the most popular desserts in the country. Of course, we have apples everywhere. Why not, right? And I guess it comes down to, again, the decision. Do I do a two crust? Do I do an apple crumb? Do I do an open deep dish? Do I do a crumble? A simple tart, again, using Golden Delicious apples, peeled and sliced. You can take little circles of puff pastry, maybe 5 or 6, I'd say 6 inches. Frozen puff pastry, cut it into shape, and then lay thin slices of Golden Delicious in a nice circle, nice and concentric. You can, nice thing about this, it looks nice. And simply sprinkle it with a little bit of sugar, and you can bake these till the puff pastry's completely cooked and the apples will soften up a little bit. Not going to throw out too much liquid, won't be too soggy. And nice scoop of ice cream right in the middle when you're serving it. You can serve it warm, and you're done. That's a nice, simplest, easiest version. One of my favorites, the tart tatin, the one done in the cast iron pan, the caramelized apples. And again, there's no spices in here. Like we talked, those warming spices, no cinnamon or nutmeg. It's just apples, butter, and sugar. So you're going to rely on the flavor of the apples. Now, the tatin, the nice thing about that is you'll quarter the apples, peel them, core them, and quarter them, and melt your butter. You need about 2.5 pounds of apples. This would be, get yourself a 9-inch frying pan that you can put in the oven. You need the oven at 400 degrees. So don't have one with a plastic handle. Cast iron works very well with this because it retains the heat well. So what you have is a quarter cup of butter and a tablespoon of lemon juice and about 3/4 cup of sugar. And you melt the butter in the pan, add the sugar, let it dissolve, and then you're going to put the apples in there. You can arrange them. You arrange them, the round side is down. That's your presentation side. You're going to flip this over when you're done. And simply caramelize the apples on top of the stove. Let the sugar and butter turn into a syrup, and the apples will start to cook. When they're about halfway cooked, you have a nice piece of pie dough. You want a 10-inch circle. Or you could use, again, you could use puff pastry if you want. But you'll have this these cooked apples, and you'll simply put the pie dough on top and put the whole thing in the oven. 400-degree oven. Bake it till the crust is done. And you'll remove it from the oven. Now, the trick is you're going to have to invert this. If you grab the handle with this pan, after it's sitting out, it's going to still be hot. So make sure you don't touch the pan even as the pie is cooling off. The tart, I should say. Now you need a large plate and simply, again, using an oven mitt or a towel, hold onto the pan. You have to flip this whole thing over. Now, the thing is, if couple of apples slide, you can always rearrange them. If the pie has cooled, if the tart has cooled too much where the apples are sticking, simply put it back on the fire, melt the caramel, and flip it over. You'll be able to loosen them up. Then, again, put the apples back in place if you need to, and you could cut a nice wedges of these. Very good. Again, if you want that, I would say if you want that cinnamon flavor, serve it with cinnamon ice cream. That would be kind of a great match there with those caramelized apples and cinnamon ice cream. A tart you've baked in a cast iron pan. Now, remembering how many apples to use for a pie. And this, what people forget is these apples are going to give up a lot of moisture. They're going to kind of collapse on you. And sometimes, I know there's apple pie fillings out there, and some people like to do that, even make their own. Like cook the apples a little bit first, so they're sure, and then put it in the pie crust, and then all you're doing then is warming the filling through and making sure the pie crust is baked. And that's not a terrible thing if you're more comfortable doing that. You do get a little bit better consistency, and you can actually thicken the cooked apples with a little flour or cornstarch, if you like. If you're doing that, we used to, when we'd bake apple pies, you'd always sprinkle a little bit of flour, and then, of course, a little shaved chilled butter bits over top of the apples. Then you would put the crust on there, and as the juices came out, the flour, the butter, are kind of mixing and thickening up the juices. Or you can just put a lot of apples in there, and again, depending on the water content, you want to... Rome's are good for baking. Granny Smith, a lot of people like. They hold their texture a little bit longer. Some people will do a combination of apples, so you get some that get soft right away, like maybe a Macintosh would get soft very quickly, and then other apples in there for texture. But for a 9-inch pie, the 2.5 pounds of apples is good. You go to a 10-inch pie, you could actually get almost 4 pounds of apples to start with. And peel, core, and slice them. And pile them right up. And it might be 2 inches above the top of the tin. Make sure your crust going on top is large enough to fit over that. Crimp well so you don't have too much leakage. Of course, the other safe thing with pies is, especially a fruit pie, you have it in the oven, put it on a baking pan also. So if you get some overflow, which... sometimes that tells you when it's done, right? And when it starts to bubble, oh, it's done, but now I've spilled and I've got this fruit syrup on the bottom of my oven. So make sure you have that baking pan underneath, or at least if you want to bake on the wire rack on the shelf, then you can put the pan on the shelf below just to catch that juice. And I guess you do use glass, ceramic seems to be the best. Depending on the pan you're using, you're going to get different heat transfer also for that crust. Some people, if you don't want to do the bottom crust, if you just like the crumble, that's also nice. Or if you just want pie, now it was a couple of weeks ago in the Times, the columnist spoke about a thicker crust, a lot more crust. We don't have enough crust on the pie. And it kind of made sense. Did it in a square pan with a heavier, thicker crust. And if your crust is made well, again, you could use shortening, use a butter. We used to use a combination of margarine and good vegetable shortening. Shortening gives you the nice flaky texture of the crust, whereas if you're using butter or margarine, it's more of a little richer, more crumbly type crust. And my baker at Mary Lakin would use both. She would use margarine and shortening, and the pies came out very well. She had her own method, but working with pie pastry, making your own if you choose to, very simple, easy with a food processor now. Just make sure your shortening or your butter is cold, so when you're cutting it in there, it doesn't make kind of a, you don't want it to make a paste. You want, when they say a fine cornmeal or small peas, little things, I think I used to even shred it with two table knives, just regular. Just do this cutting motion and literally cut the butter or shortening into the flour. And you work with cold liquid, too, that little bit of ice water. And ice water, it makes sense. And you don't need to, you just need one or two cubes. You want that water very cold because you're actually making layers. You think about it. Like puff pastry has layers of shortening and dough. And you definitely have those big, you can see the layers and the flakiness. But a good flaky pie dough should kind of resemble that. It should be that way. Or if you want more of a butter pastry, a richer one, you can go that route also. Simple one, if you like the open tarts, would be to use an apricot glaze. We've done this before with even... putting toppings on cheesecakes, fresh grapes or any fruit like that. The apricot glaze is kind of like a glue. It helps hold things together and also protects once the tart is baked, or in the case of fresh fruit, prevents the drying out. So if you have your baked tart shell, your tart shell, you melt a little bit of apricot jam with a little bit of lemon juice or water. You just want to have it so you can spread it. You'll spread the bottom of the tart shell with the apricot glaze. Let it firm up. Then you can arrange your apples in there, just like you did with the puff pastry tarts. Bake it, and then glaze it with the apricot glaze when the pie comes out. It gives it a nice sheen. I've done with pears, pear cranberry. You could actually do some sliced toasted almonds on top of that, too. We've got a break for a couple of commercials here, or words from sponsors, and we'll be back at the table, see what other fruits we can use for baking, and also some savory ideas for apples. Chef Bill's Table.
I just can't stay here in heaven.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Join us for a fun-filled evening at the Hunterdon County Crime Stoppers annual fundraiser, Thursday, November 16th, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at Lone Eagle Brewing, 44 Stangle Road, Flemington. Craft beer tasting, great food, door prizes, live music, and a 50-50 raffle. Tickets are $50 each, and sponsorship advertising opportunities are available. Please visit www.crimestoppershunterdon.com or call 908-437-0126. We'll have a barrel of fun.
Are you in business, not a member of the chamber? Come to the Hunterdon County Chamber Expo to see what it's all about and meet other business owners. Enjoy the restaurant showcase and enter to win the door prize just for business entries. The Chamber offers special benefits for new memberships during the Expo. So join us at Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington on Thursday, November 9th from 2 to 7 p.m. Don't miss it.
All right, we're back at the table here. So apples, remember, of course, we'll get into some of these next week, but stuffings for your Thanksgiving bird. Apples always work well, especially if you could do walnuts in there or take it with pork sausage. Really make that stuffing something more than just bread, right? I have a theory about that, too. You should put something in the bird that adds moisture back and flavor, not draws it out. Now, fortunately, many things that you do with apples, you can also do with pears. Pears around this time of year also another fall fruit. A couple other varieties, we'd call them, I guess, exotic, the prickly pear or cactus pear. A lot of times used for more for its juice, very good in cocktails, beverages, refreshing. Of course, it has to be peeled. Be careful, even though there's no barbs on them, they're still a little tough to deal with. And, of course, the Asian pear. Asian pears are around most of the time. I like them for work with hors d'oeuvres or a cheese platter because the Asian pear does not oxidize once it's cut. Regular pears and apples will. Sometimes you have to hit them with a little bit of lemon juice or serve them at the last minute. But the Asian pear has that nice crispy texture of apples and the flavor of pears. Sometimes pears have to remember when they're very, very ripe, they almost get a little grainy, the texture of them. It's one of the fruits that's it's best picked not fully ripe. They need to be mature, but better to ripen them off the tree. They're easily done, sit a few days. Again, they give off ethylene gas. If you put them in a bag, they'll ripen quicker. You really have a very short window, though. I know when the pears are nice and soft and ready to eat, then all of a sudden, you know, the skin gets kind of discolored, and they go pretty quickly. Now, a way to offset that, of course, poaching pears, and we usually see the Bartlett pears. They're very good for that. That's mostly what's in our the canned pears that you see. But poaching your own, you could make, whether it's just simple, a red wine syrup like your mulled wine, and serve it as is. The pear Belhaline with a chocolate sauce, and most interpretations do vanilla ice cream. I believe the original was probably with a vanilla rice where you cook the rice and milk and sugar and serve it chilled. A little different take on it, but ice cream will do. But I've done these where you take the pear and peel them and you core them but leave the stem on. Or I've cored them from the top end, taken the stem off if I'm going to stuff them. One time we poached them and then you stuff them with the kind of, it's, it reminds me of a frangipane mix with egg yolks and some almond, ground almond, and sugar. You make tarts with that, sometimes figs and other fruits, raspberries. Nice mixture. So either way, poaching these pears, say for a Belhaline, we're going to peel them and core them from the underneath and leave the stem on. You cut the bottom so they stand upright. So with 8 pears, you'll need a couple of strips of lemon zest, 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, and 3 cups of sugar and 3 cups of water. So you dissolve the sugar in the water, get those simmering away, and stand the pears up and poach them. It could be 10 minutes or so, and then you let them cool in their syrup. Very important. Let them soak up that sugar flavor. That's why after 10 minutes, they're going to stay in hot water. They'll finish cooking. You don't want them to fall apart. Meantime, as they're cooling, you need your chocolate sauce. You need 4 ounces of bittersweet or semi-sweet chocolate. You melt that over a double boiler with a little bit of vanilla, a teaspoon of vanilla, and add a half cup of the syrup from the pears into the chocolate sauce. So now you've got this nice, simple chocolate sauce. Or use your favorite chocolate sauce if you have one that you like, a recipe. And you'll have the chilled pears or room temperature pears over a little bed of, see, ice cream, you know, you're scooping ice cream. Now you have to kind of flatten it out into a bed of ice cream. So I think the vanilla rice or even, you know, a rice, not really a rice pudding, but vanilla rice baked, boiled in milk till it's very soft. I like to use the arboreal rice for that. And enough sugar in the milk to, you know, it should taste sweet while it's cooking. And I know it seems, all right, it's a little starch, but the vanilla rice chilled is very good. And even what I've done with that is fold in a little bit of plump dried cranberries. Plump the cranberries in either brandy or a liqueur, bourbon, and kind of stir those into the hot vanilla rice. You've got that nice color in there. You've got tartness of the cranberries. Dried cranberries are good. I like to use those in, well, I've done a pear cranberry tart. And instead of an apple, and like the apples and raisins go together, right? You see that combination a lot. The pears and cranberries do very well. So I made a pie one time. I did made a pear pie like an apple pie. I tossed pears with a little bit of flour, some sugar, and had some dried cranberries in there. And I did a lattice top. Wanted to be a little fancy. So for the top crust, you have your strips there that are kind of woven. So you've got, you can see the pear and the cranberry through there. Nice, nice visual. And then also on the crust, I put some chopped sliced almonds. I brushed it with a little egg wash so the almonds would stick on there. So you have the toasted almonds on top of the crust. And, of course, your sugar, a little bit of that. You've got that glistening sugar. Looks like new fallen snow, right? So this pear cranberry pie tart, if you will, worked out very well because with the lattice top, of course, it lets a lot of the liquid escape by steam. You've got dried cranberries, and I don't mean the sweetened ones, the real dried cranberries. I mean, they're different quality levels of that out there. The ones, the craisins, or they're just like a raisin, a little bit too sweet. I like them. We use just a regular dried cranberry at the restaurant in our harvest salad, and works out much better. And remember, with apples and pears, a lot of times they're interchangeable in recipes. When you're making seafood, mussels would come to mind with cider. Instead of steaming them in wine, use some hard cider, and then you add a little bit of cream in the, and actually some diced apples in there too. It seems weird to have apples with fish. It's not, if you're using the hard cider, you're not really getting a sweet sauce. It's just enhancing that cream the same way you would with white wine. And think about it. Many white wines have kind of an apple or pear overtone to them, depending on the grape variety. Chardonnays will bring those kind of flavors, Rieslings. And they're all good wines cooking with in the fall, so don't ignore hard cider, and don't be afraid to add apples to things or pears. And, of course, cranberries, always popular this time of year. Use dried cranberries if you don't want to do all the whole cooking thing, but chutneys, sauces, many things you can do with these fall fruits. And we haven't even gotten into grapes, right? I guess we just saved the grapes for the wine. Although roasted grapes do well also. We're going to sign off. We've got Pete coming next week, as I said. We'll get into some Thanksgiving things on the savory side and look at those fall herbs. Chef Bill signing off. Talk to you in a week.
Is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
There is information surfacing that there may have been a reason why this particular location was targeted.
That's Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who says police may have a motive soon as to why Texas shooter Devin Patrick Kelly opened fire at the church in the tiny community of Sutherland Springs yesterday, killing 26 people.
I don't think this was a random act of shooting, a randomly chosen location, but obviously someone who was very deranged.
The gunman's in-laws are members of the congregation. The the sheriff saying they weren't there at the time of the shooting, but they did arrive shortly after it ended. The gunman ended up taking his own life a short time later. President Trump says it's too soon to talk about guns after yesterday's mass shootings.
Fortunately, somebody else had a gun that was shooting in the opposite direction. Otherwise, it would have been as bad as it was. It would have been much worse.
This is USA Radio News.
When you're hiring, you want qualified candidates fast, and it can be hard to know where to find them. More than 3 million businesses use Indeed.com.